Hey, friends, I'm back. I had to take a little chill pill to myself because things are getting a little hectic on my end. But anywho, I'm back. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to reflect on everything that, like I said, I'm giving y'all the guide and the rule book to keep your life flourishing. Also, too, I gotta take my own advice. I realized that very heavily. I need to take my own advice. Whew. But no, today, guys, I know in my post I said I was gonna talk about process. And this is part one of the process little mini series. For this first episode, for this first little part, it's gonna be part one. It's gonna be the process of self-cleansing, of how long it takes to really clean yourself and take care of yourself and just get yourself back to what it used to be, or get yourself to a 2.0 version of yourself. Because sometimes that 2.0, that better version, you can just, like Sirius say, level up on these folks. And that's what I really, really, really want to talk about today, because I feel like I'm in that position now where there's some things that I don't fit in anymore. There are some things that don't fit me anymore. And, you know, like, now I'm to the point where I won't argue with people. I don't tolerate arguing. I won't sit here and, you know, have people talk to me crazy. I won't tolerate that either. There's just some things that I've begun to not tolerate. And those are my two biggest ones. Also, too, I'm careful about how people treat me. I'm very vocal about what I want and how I want it. And, you know, that's just me. And I realize that I'm not wrong for that. And I'm normal for wanting something to happen and wanting something to work. But stay tuned. Self-cleansing. And whilst we're stepping into adulthood, it is very needed. And you will go crazy if you don't take care of yourself. All right, my friends. And we are back. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So, all right, listen. You go through a rough patch in adulthood, either trying to find a job, trying to find your little adult legs to where you get an apartment. You try to get a job so you can keep the apartment. So you're at the point where you're learning bare necessities. That's where most people are at. They're trying to find their way around while having bare necessities and how to balance those. They're trying to figure out how can I balance myself and these bills? Or just how can I balance myself and try to keep up with this apartment and keep up with my schooling and keep up with, you know, all my friends and the connections I have, or, you know, just other types of relationships you may have with people. And, you know, sometimes as humans, we have a lot of things on our plate. We have a lot of things that we are obligated to do for other people. But we also forget that we are also obligated to take care of ourselves. That we need to sometimes take a break, look around, reflect on what I, you know, you said this to yourself, on what I am doing wrong, right? And if I'm on the right path. Sometimes you need to sit and take a look back at everything that has happened within 2 months at the least, or 3 to 4 to 6 months at the most. You know, because you don't want to take too long and everything hits you at once and you're crying in the middle of the night and you don't know why you're crying. Trust me, you don't want that. I think that's why a lot of people end up having breakdowns and panic attacks, because they've let these things build up. They don't release these things. They hold all this dead weight and they just get weighed down and they get so emotionally drained and tired, and it's sad. And I don't want that to happen to anyone. I've seen it happen to people in high school. And, you know, we're so young. We should be out here. I'm not saying we should be out here partying every day and things like that. No, but we should be out here trying to explore different things and figure out about ourselves and learn more things about ourselves. Learn who we want to be, who we are right now, and what we want to be and how we can change that to get to our end goal of what kind of woman I want to be or what kind of man you want to be. Because if you don't know who you are, or you don't know what kind of man you want to be, and you don't have these types of plans to get towards that, it will affect every other aspect in your life. It all roots with you. It all roots with you. And I think people don't understand that. People are so quick to be like, I want a relationship. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want money. That's cool. But those things are not going to make you happy. What will make you very, very, and I'm being honest, what will make you truly happy is yourself. Knowing that you can sit with yourself and be so content and at peace, that is some power that some people don't have. And when you gain that, you automatically become this powerful vessel. No, you become this powerful spirit inside this vessel we call a body. And it's so rewarding that you know you got you. It's not something to panic about. It's not something to feel so unsure and depressed about. You know you got you when everyone may fold on you. Everyone may be like, nah, bro. Everyone may cancel you out. Everybody's always gonna got you, have you like you have you. That sounded very confusing, but you know what I'm saying? Like, no one's gonna have your back like you. And in order for you to really take care of yourself, you have to know how you want to be treated. Because that's what you got to tell other people. And because what you put out to other people is what they're going to give you back. And I always say that because it's so true and it's such a root in everything. In friendships, relationships, and even at work. What you put out and what you place forward and how you project yourself is what you get back. You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes, you know, you can't be a pushover. You can't let people do you certain ways and not demand respect. I think that we're in a generation now where demand is a bad word. That, oh, especially for a woman, oh, you have demands, you're bossy. No, I want things done the right way and I want to be treated the way I feel best. And if you cannot get on board with that, you better just leave. And I think that more and more women actually getting on this wave of, if you can't follow my demands to even the slightest bit of effort, you are going to be dismissed. You either keep up or get gone. And I feel like we should be like that, and not just relationships or any little raggedy little boy that's trying to be disrespectful. We should be like that just with ourselves. And yeah, be a little selfish. Treat yourself. You know, you ain't gotta always go on a date with somebody. You can go on a date with yourself. Have a whole day. Ladies, get your nails or your hair done, whichever one you like to do. Do your makeup that day. And put on a cute outfit. And take yourself out to eat. Take yourself shopping and just go out and buy yourself something nice. And just sit and read a book. Just do things that you like to do. All the things you like to do, put them on one day. Treat yourself to one day of the week. And sometimes it doesn't always have to be spending money. You can sit at home, sit, watch your favorite TV show, laugh. You know, hang out with your friends that make you, that add on to the positive energy you're trying to manifest for yourself and that you constantly do effortlessly. You know, hang out with your friends, laugh. Sit in like someone's apartment and just sit around, watch TV and be goofy, eat snacks, get fat and just dance. And I feel like we miss out on those things, or we really truly don't value that. Spending quality time with other people who do truly support you and who truly, 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 you know, want the best for you. And that's the thing. In the process of self-cleansing, it does not come overnight. Rome was not built in a day, y'all. So this self-cleansing, you trying to cleanse yourself and better yourself, by all means, it takes some time. You're going to feel some pain. You're going to feel like something's missing. Nothing's missing. You're lighter. You're dropping dead weight. You are relieving yourself of things that were not your problems in the first place. That's what you're doing. You're lighter and you don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to feel. You don't know how to act. I feel that as though sometimes as we are young adults, we feel like we have all these pressures on us. And I feel like, you know, we are so used to holding on that we don't even know how to let go. We don't know how to let go. We don't know how to just relieve ourselves of things that don't serve us our purpose. Because we've been told that we have to have these things. We have to do this. You don't have to do anything. Be really honest with you. You don't have to do not a damn thing. Nothing. All you have to do is make sure you're happy at the end of the day. Yes, you may have to cut off some people. You know, people are like, what about my friends? Trust me, I've cut off friends. They weren't supporting me in the things that I wanted to do. They weren't helping me become a better person. Even if they didn't agree with what I wanted to do. Maybe they weren't a scholar like I was. Maybe they didn't want to study there. Maybe they weren't as serious about school, but they knew how serious I was. So they knew that about me. And they made sure that I was on my game. I want people around me that can elevate me. I want people that they're not going to match my level. They're going to get on my level and then some and make me want to elevate. I don't want anyone that's going to make me just content with where I'm at. And I'm the same person when I graduate. No, I want friends around me that I can grow with. I want people around me that I can grow with. And part of self-cleansing also is cleansing who you're around. And I'm going to just tell you the process in order. The process starts with realizing that you it's time to clean. It's time to deep clean. It's time to throw away some stuff. It's spring cleaning. But it's summertime, yes. But it's hot time cleaning. You have to prepare yourself for the next phase of your life. And I heard this from Steve Harvey, where he was telling a story about how he kept telling his mom, he gonna get a new car. His mom was like, yeah, I know, baby, but you still got that car now on them bricks. All right, he comes in the next day. He keeps coming in, talking about the new car, and she keeps responding to him about the car on the bricks. Got the car that's sitting there. Finally, he took that car, had a friend towed away for him, cleaned it up the driveway. 2 weeks later, he was driving in the driveway with a car. Not was what he wanted, but it was a car. It was a new car. It worked. That's the point. It worked. It did everything he needed it to do. No problems asked. And that was it. That's the same thing with our life. We're holding on to things and we're having things take up space. So we move to the next phase of our life. We can't progress effectively because the new stuff ain't got no room, ain't got nowhere to go. You can't hold on to old things that have just sat and died and rot and they don't work anymore and try to expect to move new stuff around in your life. You ain't got no space. It's like a phone. Get some of them old pictures off your phone. Get some of the pictures, all them selfies you took that you didn't like. You didn't put a heart on them. You didn't post them. Get those out the way. And you can take some new pictures and have those on your phone. You can take some new videos and have those on your phone. You know, it's the same way. Out with the old and in with the new. As the old saying people love to say, you have to get rid of some old things. I understand we're now where people want to be like, ah, those are memories. Yes, there are memories, but that's not who they were in that memory. They showed you who they were, and I hate to say it, that's not who they were. They showed you a phony side in that memory. So is that memory truly genuine? Is that memory truly worthy of saving? That's something you have to think about. Memories are great. I understand. You know, you may have memories with your friends in high school, but then you realize you go to college. They're not the same folks. They're not really supporting you for real. Or you have some friends probably when you just got to college that, you know, you thought, oh, we're going to be friends for a long time. We're going to be friends till we graduate. And they switch up on you after first semester. And you realize, like, should I delete all these pictures? Should I forget about everything? Should I just this, that, and the third? And you realize those memories, they weren't really for you. The memories weren't genuine because they weren't for you. They weren't truly, truly, truly. They weren't truly your friend. Why keep memories of someone who dogged you, who didn't do you right, who made you look completely stupid. Are those memories worth keeping? So you can look at them and feel hurt? Oh, like, oh man, I can't look at those memories anymore. I can't believe that they hurt me like they did. Delete it. Why keep looking back at these things and feeling some type of hurt? Get out of that. You'll get new friends. God, the higher power, the universe, or whoever you refer to will give you better friends. You have to get rid of the old ones to meet the new ones. You have to make room for them. You can't keep both because you're refusing to grow. That's something that we always forget as a whole. We refuse to grow, so we hold on to things that no longer serve a purpose to us. And part of self-cleansing, the part one, is knowing that you need cleaning. Like, admit, look around in your life, and hate to say it, sometimes people don't realize that until chaos happens. Chaos happens, someone's feelings hurt, your feelings are hurt. Then the second part of the process is, what do I do now? You question yourself, you sit and you reflect. You're like, dang, that's a crazy event that happened. Now they're not even my friend no more. Or, dang, I can't believe he cheated on me. That, you know, I thought he said he loved me. He said that he wanted to marry me. What do I do now? I'm so hurt. Like, you crying every day. You feel probably sick to your stomach. You don't feel right. I don't know if some people have ever been hurt so bad to where you can't even eat. You can't even do normal things. You can't even be yourself, you know, effortlessly. Because you have this weight on your chest, like, you've literally been heartbroken because you put your all into this person. And there's nothing wrong with that. You did everything you were supposed to do. You loved that person to death. You stepped up and you showed up and showed out. You loved that person unconditionally. You cared for them unconditionally. You did your part. And when they didn't do yours, and they didn't do theirs, and you realized that they weren't as serious as you. And, you know, I don't like to talk about cheating like that, but that's the only example I could think of. And then other things, you know, like, man, I didn't get that job. Oh, why didn't I get that job? It was, you know, so many bad things can happen to you to where you're just like, I'm done. I quit. No one talked to me. I'm mad. Kind of like a child. They throw a tantrum. I'm mad. No one talked to me. I'm going to sit in my room and pout and sit in the dark. Don't talk to me. Don't come in my room. Come in my room. I'm going to look at you mean. Can't do that, bro. You cannot do that. Because when people get in that part two process, when they're questioning themselves and reflecting on themselves, they reflect and reflect and they put themselves down in a sunken hole. And it's horrible to get out of because they can't get out of it. They sit and wallow in their own problems. And they end up, and the problems end up swallowing them whole. That's the sad part. That they can't even get to step three of recreating and rebuilding their life, meaning that you're deleting those contacts. You're deleting those pictures of the boyfriend or girlfriend that may have cheated on you or may have not been the best partner to you. You know, I never had that experience, but I can say that I don't wish that on anybody. I've seen people very hurt and in traumatic experiences with cheating or being in a toxic relationship, and that's something I don't wish on anybody. I pray and manifest that you will have love and it will last a long time. That's all I wish for you. But some people get stuck on phase two. That phase three, they can't even apply the things that they realize. Okay, these friends ain't good. I question myself, are these friends good? Are they worth it? You say no. Cool. You go to phase three on that question. Block all their numbers. Block their Instagrams. Block any contact with them because you don't want to keep arguing. You don't want to keep going back and forth because you keep going into this never-ending toxic phase of chaos, and it will make this process much more longer because you got much more paperwork to go through, much more emotional events to go through because you kept going with this and you didn't take the easy way out of relieving yourself from the situation. Phase three, you delete the numbers, you delete the pictures, and you just cleanse. You take out everything. Anything that reminds of them, you just leave it. You just take it out. You don't use it. You don't touch it. You get to the point where if it's not about you, it's out. And sometimes you have to be like that. If it's not about you, it's gone. It's done. It's complete. I'm not worried about it right now. Because there's some things that I got to figure out about me. So when I come back to you, I know what to say. I know what to do. And I know exactly how to solve this to where I don't make a mistake. Because when I sit here and think about it and I reflect and I get myself together, trust me, baby, that answer is going to be exact. It's going to be how I'm feeling. I said what I said. That's how you're going to feel. And the phase four is where you move on. You're in another life. You don't contact them. You're doing you. You're taking this time. You're in this phase of your life where you're enjoying the time with yourself and with your friends. You're not worried about trying to form new connections. You're not in a phase where you're forcing new connections. You let them come to you, or you let them happen just effortlessly and let God do his work. You let God do his work. That's what you truly do. You let God do his work. Baby, you let God do his work. You get you some friends that care about you. Trust me, I have a testimony about that. You will get you some friends that truly, truly care about you, and they will never leave you. They have some problems here and there, but we're humans. We're going to have problems. We're going to run into things where some people want to be left alone and have time and have space to think and reflect because they be going through something on their own. Let them do that. You know, I saw this quote today on Twitter. It said, if a person wants space, give them space. Because if you grow closer, they'll move further away from you. And I can attest to that. That is so true. You get so close and so close an inch, you don't respect their space to where they want to just leave you alone completely. It gives them another reason. It's just like, you're not for me. But no, guys, we're going to talk about this next parts of phases because, baby, just after you move on, it's some more things that happens when you move on. Huh, because people get rowdy. But nah, all right, my friends, stay tuned. All right, friends, we are back. Whew, I had to take a little breather because, y'all, I was really preaching. Like, no, I wasn't preaching. I'm playing with y'all. I wasn't preaching. But I was really saying some things, and I get really passionate about topics like this because we all go through them, and we all should be able and be ready and willing to help. So I mentioned that the fourth phase was that you move on. You know, first phase, you realize that you need to do some cleaning. Second phase, you do the cleaning. Third phase, you realize you need to do cleaning. Second phase, you question yourself. You self-reflect before you do the cleaning, for real. Because you self-reflect, you know, you need to know what you need to clean. You know, like how you make a list, like, I'm going to clean the bathroom first, the bedroom second, and living room last. You know, stuff like that. Then third, you're just like, how am I going to clean this? How am I going to do this? And the fourth one, you move on. You've completely did all the cleaning. Now you're trying to apply the things that you've cleaned. You're trying to adjust to how they are now and not what they used to be. Because it's hard. Adjustment is hard. You know, because sometimes for this adjustment period, you're by yourself. Phase four is a very lonely phase. And you lucky you made it out the second phase. Because some people get in that and just be like, nah, bro. And they get into this depressive state. And I think that we have to be very, very careful of the second phase. Because when you begin to question yourself, some people panic. Get paranoid, they call up somebody, they text somebody, and it's things that they don't mean. They're saying it out of panic because they think that's what they're supposed to say, and it's just like, yeah. You know, it's not good. It's not it, bro. You know? And I really truly believe after the fourth phase, you're in a whole period where, you know, you're doing good for some time. You're getting used to your own company. You run into some folks and some friends that you probably put on the back burner, because we're all guilty of putting people on the back burner. And those people in the back burner, you realize that how cool of an individual they were. You realize that you vibe with them better than the folks who put as your mains. And you're like, okay. So you try something different. You hang out with them. You're feeling your way around and knowing and hanging out with people. You're just mingling. You're having fun. You're not tied down to anything. You're not making yourself do things because you feel like you have to. You're just being and living. And I think that's the best way to be when coming out of something that is either traumatic for you or toxic for you, is to just be, sit and do nothing. Do what you can, do what you know. Either you keep going to work, you keep hustling, you keep stacking up your paper, and you keep taking care of yourself. You may take care of yourself, you may go exercise, you may eat better, you may take care of your hair too. When I say, like, you know, your whole hygiene and your whole health inside, and also your mental health. You go see someone, you talk to someone about the things that have happened so you can reflect on them properly. Because you can reflect on them by yourself, yes, but it helps to talk to someone else who has went to school to study the feelings of humans. That's what they went to school to study for, is they studied how people work. They studied how people are. That's their job. And they can help you, guide you, and keep you on the right track. It's like a trainer for your mind. They keep you on the right track. They keep you in check of what you're supposed to do and what you should do. And if you stray away from that path, then that's your fault, because they did everything they could do. They can't make you do anything. Never think a therapist can make you do anything. They will just stop giving you advice until you've applied other notes that they gave you. Or they let you figure it out on your own. But you continue to go to them, though, because they want money. Yeah. But you know what? Get that paper. I ain't mad at y'all. But after this phase of the, you know, you move on and you're in your new life. You're living your best life. You're all that extra. Yeah, yeah. Month or two, 3 months may go by. One of them friends. Or if you're in a relationship and you got cheated on, that person that you dated may hit you back up saying, hey, I want to try again, or hey, I'm sorry for how I did you. Now, if you let them back in, that is your choice. Some people are forgiving, some people aren't. Some people truly believe, you do me like this once, you're never getting back in, leave me alone, because if I let you back in, that's giving you more leeway to do it again. And sometimes they're right. If that's your gut, that's your gut. It may hurt and twist a little bit to be like, I gotta let you go, bro, because I'm not getting no feeling, I'm not getting no vibe that you are serious about this or that you've actually changed, because the best apology is change behavior. Yes, Twitter said that, but you know who said that too? My mama. Apology is the best type of behavior. You come back, you really do a full examination. If you gonna take this person back, do a full examination to see if this person is really in it to win it, that they have evolved to where they can step up to the plate, and you give them demands, they will do them with no questions asked. And guess what? They won't grumble or complain while doing them. It won't be too much for them, because guess what? They've evolved, they've changed, they took that time to reflect to themselves, and they changed, and they realized, oh, they left me alone. Dang. They really, and me, like, I really love them, though. Or I really want to stay friends with them. Or I really want to do this. I really miss them. You have some demands for yourself. You tell them that I'm changed. I've evolved. I have grown. I want better. And these are the things I want. Be direct. Be detailed. These are the things I want. If you don't have a plan on how to achieve these effectively, or you don't want to work with me, then you can go back to where you were. And you can go back to where I left you with the quickness. Sometimes you gotta be like that. You have to give people ultimatums, because they gave you ultimatum when they treated you the way they did, and have you sitting in the room by yourself questioning who you are and what you should be and how you should handle this. And if even you should just question their entire existence and their existence as well. They've put you in an ultimatum of like, is it me or them? Should I drain myself one more time to please them and to continue to be friends with them? And sometimes People just choose no because people get tired of being drained and people get tired of being forgiving, giving chances, and just all this other stuff. Some people are like, I want to do what I want to do. I'm doing stuff for the sake of this relationship and you keep messing it up. Or I'm doing stuff for the sake of this friendship and you keep sitting here kicking me in my face. That's how it be sometimes. And it's just like, when do you decide that you're tired? Some people decide after the first time, like, oh, you didn't like that? For real? Cool. That's how you really are? Cool. I'm gone. Some people will give like 2, 3, 4 times. Guess what? Everyone has a breaking point. No matter how forgiving the person may be, no matter how much you put them through, you gotta realize that you can't keep putting them through it and saying that you love them and saying that you care for them. Because a real, true person that loves you as a friend, a confidant, whatever you call them, they will realize the situation of what, how they did you and what they put you the first time and not repeat that cycle again and not repeat that pattern. And also, they will realize that you have a breaking point. They need to realize that I didn't have to forgive you. I could have left you where I left you and been cool. You know, you have to, with some people, you have to let them start from the ground up again. They got to be at the bottom again. You got to prove to me, show to me that you really down for me as a friend. I want your actions, not your words. I want you to show me that you're my friend. I want you to speak well of me, support me. I'm having an event, come support me. I'm in a bad time, come support me. I'm gonna invite you to hang out in places. I want you to show me that you changed. Don't treat me the same way you treated me before, you know, back then. I want to know if you have changed. That's when you take the person, that is when you know that they've changed. You do a full checklist. Have this person change? Is there any flaws, or not flaws, but there's any things that they used to do that's still there? Because I can't have that. I can't have none of that. I'm not saying change 360, but what I will say is the vibe has to be different. You cannot try to come back and you haven't made any efforts to change your attitude in the way you do things. Because if you love that person, you will make some adjustments so everything can go afloat. Because that's what's important to you, is a relationship between you and that person, that friendship, that connection going afloat. You never, ever, ever want to do the same thing twice and get results. Insanity. Complete insanity. I wish somebody would. I wish you would. When people come back into your life, it's also a test to see if they are the same. It also is testing you to see, have you really let them go? And that's when it really tests, have you went through the phases effectively? Because some people will never change. And hate to say it, sometimes you have to try out to see if they have or not. Hate to say it, sometimes you got to turn them down and be like, and be honest, like, no, you hurt me to the point where, like, I was broken. And I was like, if you want to come back in, you literally have to prove yourself all over again. Clean slate. Anything that you used to do, all the good things out of this entire talk situation that you used to do, they're no longer valid. No longer valid. Yeah, you used to care for me and take care of me when, I don't know how people, you know, people may take care of you, but they also weren't good to you, but they took care of you. You have to really see if the good outweighs the bad. And when you look at that now, you have to be like, yeah, they took care of me. Yeah, they did all these things, but that's not excuse how they treated me and how they made me feel. You have to be aware of that. You have to be really, really aware. Because some people like to do those things to sugarcoat the bad stuff they're doing to you and how they're bringing you down. They like to blind you with a nice gesture once in a while. And that's one of the things you'd be careful of. we also have to be, when you sit here and reevaluate this person again to see if they really changed, you can't just ask them flat out. You got to see what they do, how they move, and everything like that, and everything in that nature. You have to really, really, really examine them. Because I understand, yes, forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. But also, too, forgiveness does not mean I let you back into my life. Now, if you want to come back over here into my life, you got to show me that you have really changed your character, that you are really about being an asset to my life. You're really about adding on to the energy that I bring. Not even that, but you don't take away. You don't drain me. You don't make me feel awful. You don't make me feel less than. Have you learned how to not do that? Have you learned to effectively become a friend or become an individual that is a good communicator, a good confidant, a good person to connect with? Because connections, you can change them. You can find someone else you can connect with much better and like them. But I understand some people like, I want this person. This person, everything about them, their whole vibe to me is just them. I know it's them. I feel them. I understand. Sometimes it gets really deep with people. But you also have to realize, you're going to put up with this to get this. And if you say yes, then by all means, you tough it out. And that's what you said you were going to do. So don't complain. And I think people have to realize, there's some things you're going to have to take because people have flaws. People have things that are a part of them. My thing is, don't let those things that are a part of them swallow them and you whole into a deep hole of negativity. Because that's the worst thing and the most horrible thing. And that is my biggest fear when making a connection with any person on any level, friendship, relationship, whatever. It is one of the biggest fears, is that their flaws, no, flaws are no problem. Their insecurities are so big that it becomes a fault. And we talked about faults and flaws. So, how say this? Your faults cannot outweigh and swallow this entire relationship because you don't know how to control it and you don't know how to take care of yourself. Sometimes you can't be friends with people because they can't take care of themselves. They can't function on their own. They simply can't do it. They need to learn, they need to grow up, they need to evolve. And when they're ready and they've, you know, evolve, maybe they will come back to you. Maybe they won't, because they'll think that you moved on. Either way, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Don't wait for them to come back to you. Don't wait for them to do this, that, the third. Just move on. They want to come back to you. They want to do this, that, and the third. It will happen. It will happen. And it will happen on its own, naturally, and it will not be forced. It will not be because you sat by the phone and you waited 3 years for this person to get their life together. You wasted 3 years waiting for this person to get their life together. You could have been living your life. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's not what you're supposed to be doing. It's not what you're supposed to be doing. What you're supposed to be doing is making sure each and every day you're straight. No matter if you're a relationship or you have a bunch of friends, even if you don't have those things, either or, make sure you always have your back, man. My friends, take care of yourself and everything else will fall into its divine place and order as it should be. Hey, friends. I hope y'all enjoyed the episode. I hope y'all enjoyed what I said to y'all. Hope it just blessed your entire existence. I don't know. That's extreme. I hope it just did something for y'all. But don't forget, follow me on the socials. All right, y'all know my personal page is Mimi Nava. It's MIMI.NAVAH_. And if you want to follow the page, know what's going on, know what I got coming for y'all with the podcast, with the episodes. Look, because we on it, baby. We here with it. Look, follow me on Instagram at TheLitSouthernBelle. We will have a Twitter coming soon, but the Twitter will not come unless we have at least 100 followers on Instagram. Okay. So tell your friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And y'all sit around and listen to it together. Y'all sit around, y'all get this rule book to keep your life flourishing. Your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your friend, brother, cousin, daughter, whatever. Tell them. Tell everybody. Tell your mama, tell your daddy. And also tell your friend to tell a friend. And guess what? Have your friends tell their family. More people. But now, my friends, stay flourishing.